Genesis chapter 3, we want to look at Satan's hidden agenda. Satan's hidden agenda. Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpents, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of it, of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the midst of the, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Here we have the account of Satan approaching Eve. But you know, he never told her what his plan was. He never told her what his plan was. What was his plan? He had a plan. Well, as we think about Satan's plan, let's go back to Matthew 4. And notice a very interesting point here in Matthew chapter 4. In verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give unto thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Very interesting. Did he offer Jesus something that he couldn't give him? He said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Now, as you think about that, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, verse 3 in context, if our gospel be hid, it is hid or hidden to them that are lost, the people that need it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, keep that phrase in mind, in whom it says the God of this world. Of course, it's a little g, because it's talking about Satan. And it says that Satan is the God of this world. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2, let's look at the title that Satan has here. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Here it's talking about Satan. And it says that he is the prince of the power of the air. It says that that everybody who is unsaved walks the pathway of life, walks on the same pathway, a pathway of rebellion against God, and that this path is engineered by Satan, according to the prince of the power of the world. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So here's the course. And all unsaved people are on the same course. You know, it's like a racetrack. Or maybe it's a little bit more variety than that. Maybe it's like, Elkhart Lake with all its curves and, you know, that kind of course. But it's a course. And everybody that's on in this world is on that same pathway. And who's in charge of that pathway? The devil. He's the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Now, how can Satan be called the god of this world? How could Satan be called the prince of the power of the air and be the one who's established this course that all unsaved people are on? How could it be that Satan could say to Jesus, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world? How could that be? Is it legitimate? Yes, it's legitimate. You see, in the Garden of Eden, Satan had a plan. Now, he didn't tell Eve the plan, did he? He didn't tell Eve the plan. He didn't mention anything about his plan, did he? Tell anything about his plan? Anything there in Genesis about his plan? No. Nothing is said about his plan. What was his plan? What was his plan? Well, let's think of a couple things. Let's think of what it says in Genesis 1, 28. Here are the instructions to Adam and Eve. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Have dominion. Fill the earth and subdue it. Bring it under your authority. Now, Turn with me to Psalm 8. This gives us an insight into God's plan for mankind. Psalm 8, verse 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, that's mankind, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him a dominion over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things under his feet. Now we know this psalm eventually is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because man fell, and because of man's fall, he's not able to fulfill God's plan for his life. And so another Adam had to come, Jesus Christ. The second Adam had to come because the first Adam failed to fulfill God's plan for mankind and for the earth. And so you'll read in places of the Scripture, especially how Psalm 8 is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, especially in Hebrews. But let's get the big picture. Last week we talked about the big picture. We got to get the big picture. Well, one more verse and then we'll talk about it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By one man, sin entered into the world. Who was that man? Adam. Who was Adam? Adam was the one who God made to be in dominion over the earth. He was to subdue the earth. He was to rule over the earth in God's stead. But through this man, Adam, when he sinned, sin came into the world. Sin came into the world through him. Now, gives us some little insight into Satan's plan. Satan didn't tell Eve what his plan was, but he had a plan. What was his plan? Why did he approach Eve? Well, you see, what was his plan? His plan was he wanted to have access to the earth. He wanted to be the ruler of the kingdoms of this world. He wanted to become the God of this world. He wanted to take God's rule over the earth through Adam. He wanted to destroy man's relationship with God, man that he had created in his own image. He wanted to destroy that relationship. He wanted to take man from being the children of God to being the children of the devil. He had a plan. He wanted to break that fellowship with man and God. He wanted to destroy not only God's plan, but God's man. He had a big plan. But he didn't tell Eve it. He didn't tell Eve, now, I'm going to tempt you because I want to become the God of this world. But I can't become the God of this world except that you let me. I cannot become the God of this world in place of God being the God of this world except you, the ruler of this world, let me. I want to destroy you and your husband, and I want to make you my children rather than God's children. And in order to do that, all I have to do is get you to listen to me and disobey and rebel against God. If I can get you to rebel against God, if I can let you give me permission to enter the realm and the rule of this world through sin, if I can get you to do that, then I can become the God of this world. I can become the spiritual father of all mankind. I can own and be the main influence behind all the material wealth of the world. And someday, I can offer that to Jesus Christ as a temptation to cause him to not go to the cross and die for you. He had a plan. Now, did he tell any of this plan? If you think that he told Eve this plan, raise your hand. I don't think he told Eve that plan. He has a hidden agenda. He doesn't tell young people, oh, I'm just all about destroying your life. He didn't say that. In fact, he lied. He told Eve, now I tell you what, if you listen to me, I am going to make your life something great, greater than you could ever imagine. You'll go from the realm of mankind, you'll go to the realm of being like God. Ho! He lied. And the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning. Yep. He's a destroyer. He's a killer from the beginning. He's all about destroying people's lives. And so he knew that in order to be able to for this world, instead of being God's kingdom, to become his kingdom, he had to make Adam and Eve, the rulers of this world under God, to sin. Satan has a hidden agenda. Always has. And so he had a hidden agenda. Get man to sin. Now you talk about as big a lie as you can get. He came to Adam and Eve and promised them that they would become like God, when the truth was he had a plan to become the ruler of this world, and he could only become that ruler and enter into the realm and the rule of this world by getting the ruler of this world to give up that kingdom by sinning and allowing Satan access to this world. So it's a hidden agenda. Have you ever thought about Satan's hidden agenda? Ever thought about Satan's hidden agenda? You ever thought about what his plan for your life is? He has a plan. Don't be naive like Eve and think that he's your friend. He has a plan. Now, let's look at Satan's approach. Let's look at his approach. How does Satan get what he wants? How does Satan get what he wants? Well, notice, the Bible says, he said unto the woman, hath God said. What do you mean? Well, young person, did anybody ever say to you, you said, well, my parents said I couldn't go to Culver's tonight. And your friend says, what? Your parents said you couldn't go to Culver's? Oh, really? Was that the friendly statement? Or is that a subtle statement made to stir up questioning of your parents? A questioning of their authority. A questioning of what they said. They're right to say that. Yeah? How does Satan approach you? How did he approach Eve? By causing you to question the Bible. God said that. You mean that's in the Bible? You mean that is in the Bible? Huh. I'm sure there's nobody ever says anything like that. I'm sure there are no experts of the human race called the media that ever do anything like that. Questions God's word. Oh, you know what? Satan can use your friend. The Bible says what? Oh, you know, even something more powerful? The devil could use some kind of a minister. You know what I mean? Some kind of a minister, some kind of a reverend. The Bible says what? Well, that's pretty powerful, right? Notice your friends could say that. You mean you can't do such and such? Remember your friends ever say that? Any of your cousins ever say that? You mean you can't go so such and such a place? You mean you can't do that? Oh, you mean you got to go to church? I mean, you got to go to church Wednesday night? That's just like saying, why would you want to do such a foolish thing? So he attacks the God. He questions, causes you to question the Word of God. And then Eve was already listening to him, because when he questioned the Word of God, she started questioning it, and she made God's Word even different than it was. She said, you know, God said we couldn't even touch it. Now, that was a lie. Because Adam and Eve were given the job of caring for all the trees of the garden. And Mr. Griffin, you don't take care of apple trees without touching them, do you? And so now the questioning had already begun to work, because now she's changing the Bible. And, Satan, you know, he had a good hold on the line. You know, he could feel the fish biting, you know. He could feel the fish biting, nibbling. It's doing, getting their attention. And then the devil says, God says, she says, you know, if I do that, I'll die. And the devil says, verse 4, the devil says, you shall not lie. You shall not lie. Die, excuse me. You shall not. Yeah, you shall not lie. That's good. Okay. But you shall not die. You aren't going to die. That's just a big, bold-faced lie. That's how it comes together. Okay? You're not going to die. God said you're going to die. You're not going to die. The Bible says that. Such and such. You have to be saved. If you're not born again, you got to go to heaven. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true at all. So he caused her to attack the Bible. Attack God's Word. Notice, he says, God knows that the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he denies God's plan. God's plan for them was to be innocent and be pure and be free from the power of sin and to love that which is good and desire to walk with God the rest of their lives. He says, you know, God doesn't have a good plan. God's plan for you is bad. I got a better plan. If you take that fruit, you'll be better. Cause them to deny God's plan. You know, how many people today say, you know, if I follow God, it's going to be bad. If I follow the Bible, well, let's put it this way. If I don't follow the Bible, it really would be better for me. What young person is out there saying, well, you know what, if I obey the Bible and I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do that, that won't be good at all. That's how the world thinks. Of course, they don't know the Bible so very well, but the devil's still working on them. What about a young person? You say, well, if I follow the Bible, you know,
I follow the Bible a little bit, but I, you know, all the way, now that just won't be good. The devil gets to deny God's plan. And attacks God's character. You know, God, he's not good. That's what the devil says. God's not good. Let me tell you what. If God was good, he would tell you to eat that fruit. And then when you eat that fruit, then you'd be like him. You'd be better than what you are. You notice the devil, he appeals to the pride of life. He appeals to your pride. Oh, you know, look at me. This is what I want for my life. And if I follow me, it's all going to work out and I'm going to be right at the top. He had a plan. His approach to Eve is the same approach he uses today. No different. No different. He has the same approach today. He has the same subtle hidden agenda to destroy lives. And he has the same same subtle approach to get people to do what he wants. That's what it's all about. He has a plan to get people to do what he wants them to do. You know, people today say, I can think for myself. You know, I'm so smart, I'm going to be rebellious. You know, that's really smart. You know, and adults say, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. But besides that, nobody's going to ever tell me how to raise my kids. No one. No one. No one's going to tell me. No one's going to mess with my life. Bible, God, no one. Satan appeals to man's pride. And he appealed to Adam and Eve's pride. Of course, we know the end of the story, or at least that part of the story. Adam and Eve sinned. Sin came into the human race. Now, Satan owns this world. It's under his realm. Only temporarily, but it's his. Now, people are born, not the children of God, people are born the children of Satan. Wow. The spiritual children of Satan. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. Wow. Disease, death, sin rules in our world. Why? Because of one reason. Man's permission was necessary. Man's permission was necessary. You know, Satan's plans can only be fulfilled in your life with your permission. Think about that. Adam and Eve, in that sense, they were more powerful than the devil. He knew he couldn't have the kingdom of this world. He couldn't usurp God's plan and God's authority and God's kingdom. He knew it was right in the man's hands. And he had to get man to give the permission. It was almost like, okay, you can go on this property here, but I'm going to give you permission. You know, there's such a thing as being demon possessed. There's such a thing as demonic influence. Never gets there, though, by accident. Always gets there by permission. Gets there by permission. You know, I remember a young person claimed to be saved. Didn't really come here. His mom came here. But hard to believe, senior high school, living with his girlfriend. He went with us to Bill Rice Ranch. Heard preaching for a whole week. In fact, I think he might have even gone twice. Living with his girlfriend. Went as a junior, kept living with his girlfriend his whole year, and went after his senior year and heard the preaching and just kept on living in this life of sin. Kind of lost track of him. Then I heard he was working at this newspaper in Burlington. And I heard he was hearing voices. And he was having these terrible, terrible dreams. And thinking these terrible, terrible things. And he had to go to a psychiatrist. And they put him on these meds and doped him all up. But he was still, and he started going crazy. It wasn't by accident. It just didn't happen. He let sin in his life knowingly and purposely. And when you do such a thing, you do not know what you are letting in. You don't know what you're letting in. But situations like that, most of the time you can point to something. The demonic music they listen to. The wicked lifestyle they're living. Satan got permission. But they didn't know what he was going to do when he got in. I would dare say that many, many suicides today are the result of a young person letting Satan come into their life through their music, through their video watching, through all the wicked stuff that's out there. How do you thwart Satan's plans? He doesn't come up to a young person and say, you know what? I want to make you go crazy. He doesn't come up to a young person and say, hey, I want you to become bipolar. He didn't do that. He says, I got an offer for you. I got an offer for you. Something that's going to be really good for you. Nice little sin here. And it's going to bring you all sorts of nice pleasure. And after all, you know, I really care for you a lot more than your parents care for you. And I care for you a lot more than, than God does. And I know a lot, I'm a lot smarter than the Bible. So, how do you thwart Satan's plan? Well, we see in the passage in Genesis here, how God presented to Adam and Eve a very important truth. They said, he said to them, verse 11, who told thee thou art naked? And hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, no, I didn't do it. It was the woman that you gave me. Huh. You know, it's called blame shifting. It wasn't me. It was my wife. But really, God, it wasn't my wife. It was you, because you're the one who gave her to me. Now, you talk about the ultimate of blame shifting. What's the opposite of blame shifting? It's called personal responsibility. You know, there's two systems of psychology today. Secular psychology that's based on blame shifting. Go to the psychologist and they will ask you all these questions so you can find out all the people that you can blame for your problems. And then somehow they're going to figure out how that's going to help you. And then they'll figure out what selenium or something you don't have in your brain. I don't know. But they're going to find out all the problems that all the people that cause some kind of problem in your life. That's called secular psychology. They call it counseling in a lot of places. Wow, this is as old can be. And Adam said, God, your fault. And Eve, she's a little bit better. She said, the devil made me do it. But what does the Bible say? Why did God confront them? Because he wanted them to come to personal responsibility. He wanted them to say, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I made a choice. It was my choice. I decided to do it. I made it of my own accord, from my own thinking, my own will. I'm responsible for this bad decision I have made. And God has good news. And he said to Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head. There is Jesus Christ. He's going to come and die on Calvary's cross, going to be a descendant of Eve, and he's going to die on the cross. He's going to pay for your sin. What is sin? Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. For those who will admit that they have sinned, I have a Savior. And that Savior will save you from your sin. And now you can be cleansed from your sin. And that sin that broke fellowship with God can be forgiven, and you can have fellowship with God again. Instead of that defiling of Satan, you can be cleansed by the blood of the Savior. Instead of now being in Satan's plan, you can be delivered and be in God's plan. But what does it require? It requires two things. One, it requires personal responsibility. In other words, the confession of our sin and our sinfulness. And number two, faith in God's perfect provision. In other words, if we say, we admit, you know what? This problem is because I sinned. And I made this choice. We can confess our sin. Because we take responsibility. Only, you can only confess something that you did wrong. If you didn't do wrong, you can't confess it. If somebody else was at fault, it wasn't sin, was it? If we confess our sin, there's a Savior who can forgive our sin. So the answer to thwarting God's plan is personal responsibility of our sin and having faith in God and His provision and His plan for our life. Faith. And of course, that's simply salvation. Refusing, accepting responsibility, and putting our faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, there's another. As a Christian now, there's some things that are important for us to do. And I'll try to make this very quick here. I only have a few minutes. Refuse to listen to Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. How do you refuse to listen to Satan? The Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the word for devices is the word nomata, which means thoughts. How does Satan tempt us? He tempts us by casting spiritual thoughts into our mind. He tempts us through spiritual thoughts. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Thoughts. In our thoughts, refusing to listen to Satan's thoughts. Capturing the thoughts of our mind and weighing them. Is this a thought from God? Is this a thought from my wicked flesh? Is this a thought from the wicked world around me? Is this a thought? I don't know where it came from, but it's wrong. Casting out those imaginations. You know, that the Eve listened to the devil. just listened to one sentence, and then she started twisting the Bible, didn't she? You listened. How do we thwart God's plans? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Simply put, it says every temptation that ever comes our way, we have the ability to say no. No. Serpent, get out of here. I'm not listening to you. Thwarting God's plans. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know how you thwart Satan's plans? By letting Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life. What was his plan in the first place? Take away the lordship of God out of Adam and Eve's life so he could become the Lord. You know, when you say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, here's my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Wow. Exactly. You defeated Satan's plan right frontal attack. You didn't want Jesus Christ to be your Lord. But when you say, I mean it, he's going to be the Lord of my life. Wow. You're thwarting the devil's plans. James chapter 4. Verse 7. James 4:7. Number one, refuse to. Number one, put faith in God and His Savior. Number two, refuse to listen. Number three, say no to His temptations. Number three, make Him Lord. Four. Number five, obey God. Verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Put them all together. I think it's saying, you know, when you start saying, I'm going to obey God, you're thwarting the plan of the devil. Number 6. Do God's will. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, simple truth. But how do you frustrate the plan of the devil by doing the will of God? That's what the devil wants stopped more than anything else. He does not want the gospel to go out to the ends of the world. He doesn't want people to hear about Jesus Christ. He doesn't want them to know how to be saved. He doesn't want your life to be successful and strong and powerful and blessed. He doesn't want you to be close to God because he knows all those things will keep you from living for God and serving God and witnessing. Give your life and do the will of God. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. I think that's called doing the 100% opposite of what the devil wants. You know, Satan has a hidden agenda. You ever think about it? Think about hidden agenda for your life. What if the person who told you how to get saved had got hooked on drugs, became a drug addict, and spent the rest of their life in and out of drug addiction centers without a life of failure? Would you have gotten saved? How shall they call upon him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Yeah, that's exactly God, the Satan's plan, right? Destroy your life, make you unsuccessful, make you, defeated, live for yourself. Then the person who could and should get saved through your ministry won't. Satan has a hidden plan. He isn't going to tell you. Now, I'll tell you what, Stephen. All sorts of people over Kenya, they need the gospel. And I don't want you to go over there. Okay? So, I tell you what. I'm going to tell you what. One day, just going to wake up and say, hey, I think I'll live for myself. Because it'd be a lot better. And you know what? You'll have 15 Cadillacs in the garage. And it'd be a lot better. Don't have them driving past 90,000 miles because they're junk after that. But anyway, is he going to tell you that? Going to tell you his plan? No, he doesn't tell anybody his plan. He's got a plan, though. Because he wants to destroy our lives. He wants to stop God's plan from being happening. He wants people to go to hell. That's Satan's plan. And he knows if he can get us to live for ourselves, God's plan isn't going to be fulfilled. If he gets us to live for ourselves, the gospel's not going to go forth. People aren't going to be saved. You know, if he can get us to just be so self-centered, they're always worrying about us. Well, we aren't going to witness to many people. We aren't going to do much for God. He knows we can get the focus on us. He'll be successful. But he'll never tell us that. He says, dear Christian, I'm at your door today, and you know what? I'm trying to destroy your life. And I want to destroy God's plan for your life. And you know what? And what I'm going to give you is going to be terrible. And you know, it's going to blind you. And you won't know how bad it is until you die. And you stand before God and you'll be ashamed. He won't tell us any of that. He has a hidden agenda. But let me tell you what. He does have an agenda. And he causes us to question God's word. He causes us to attack and refuse God's plan. He causes us to question God's goodness. He causes us to go our own way. He appeals to our pride. But we don't have to let him. Amen. We don't have to let him. You know, one of the greatest words in life, it's called no. One of the greatest words that parents have, it's called no. No. Boy, that's a great word. No. No. When your parents say, no, you can't do that, that's wrong, that's great. Praise God, they're doing their job. No, you can't go there, that's bad. Place temptation. No, they're doing their job. Thank God they call you, they tell you no. The TV's not going to tell you no. They're going to say, do all the bad things. Subtly, like the devil. They're going to say it's better for you. I want to leave today thinking about the fact that Satan has a hidden agenda. He always has. Take a moment right now. Think about what he would like for you. What he'd like for you. Then ask yourself, has he been tricking you? Has he been tricking you and causing you to somehow not be in God's perfect will? Then you must go back and say, you know what? I've been making some bad decisions. Nobody made them for me. I made them. You know what? I can point to that day that I said no to God. And ever since then, it's been like my life is just going down little bit by little bit by little bit. Go back to that day and say, you know what? I made a decision. It was a bad decision, and I'm responsible for it. God, forgive me. Lead me in now in your path. Lord, you need to be my Lord. I'm not a very good Lord of my life, and Satan's a worse Lord. Satan has a hidden agenda. But it can be easily defeated. Because there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. Praise God. Through Christ, we can make the right decision. If you're not saved, Satan would love to see you go to hell. I hope you know that. He'll do everything in his power to keep you from coming to Christ. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call upon Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Mean it, and you can be saved. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you today for a very simple truth from the Word of God. But Lord, deeper than we often think, and yet every one of us in one way or another is living in a world where these truths are really happening. And Lord, we pray by your grace that we have been made aware of it. And now I pray for your Holy Spirit, if you've not already done so, Lord, that you would make it clear for anyone who has been listening and submitting unwittingly to the devil's plan, hidden agenda to destroy their life and destroy your rule. Lord, give grace. Help us to overcome pride. Lord, we pray that even today be a day of victory. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray decisions would be made about your plan and our submitting to it and our refusal to submit to Satan and his plan. So help your people in the particulars, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name.